We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we are recording from today, the Yugambeh people and the Gadigal people.
We pay our respects to the elders past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew. Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Nell Gow, and we'll be your hosts for today's episode of the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast with the amazing Cirrus Tan. But before we get into all of that, we have three incredible sponsors on for Series 3, Arc'teryx, Climbing Anchors and Urban Climb. Arc'teryx have store in Melbourne and another store opening soon in Sydney. In Bondi Junction, it's opening on the 22nd of June, so just in a few weeks' time. And we're like,
it's one time for my birthday. Thank you, Arc'teryx.
Oh my gosh. Arc'teryx presents for Eva from everyone.
Hint, hint.
It's super exciting. Also, Arc'teryx partners with an amazing organization who, you know, we've been in connection with for quite a while, Women Uprising, and they have a Cracks and Racks workshop coming up in Mount Arapiles on the 19th of June. It's only got like a handful of spaces in there, and these women are just incredible. I'm going to pop the links into our show notes. So if you're wanting to learn more about Cracks and Racks and you're down in Victoria, definitely hit this one up.
I love the name Cracks and Racks. I wish I could have got there.
Sounds a little dirty.
I know, it's fantastic. Our second sponsor, Climbing Anchors, they've been with us for a while. They are fantastic. They are your go-to for your climbing gear, your outdoor adventure gear, whatever you need. They also sponsor Sarah Larcombe, who is one of their official athletes and just got silver at the Paraclimbing World Cup in Salt Lake City last week, which is pretty epic.
It's incredibly epic. It's been so cool to see Sarah's journey over the last few years, and yeah, it's awesome to see Climbing Anchors supporting her and celebrating her and all those wonderful things that they do supporting our community. Yep. And our final sponsor is Urban Climb, who've been there from the start, as everyone who's been listening for all these episodes would know. They have amazing gyms around Australia, three Brisbane gyms in Milton, Newstead and West End, one up in Townsville in North Queensland, and two down in Melbourne, Collingwood and their newest gym, Blackburn, which is absolutely epic. And we absolutely love these guys. They build amazing communities, and they've always been such a huge support of Mum's Gone Climbing. But, you know, here we are. We're actually at the halfway point of podcast series 3. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. And I missed this one.
You did. You did. Why did you miss this one, Eva?
Because I finally succumbed to COVID. It's taken me that long to get it. And let me tell you, it was.
You did it right. Oh. You really got it.
Yeah, I really got it. And then Isabella got it and Kate got it. Yeah. Anyway, that's fine.
It's all behind you.
I mean, the COVID's behind us, but can I just give a shout out to everyone who's like moving through the initial daycare bug sort of fest?
The infestation of everything.
Yeah, like someone said, once I start daycare, they'll have a runny nose for 12 months, period, right? And I was like, no. Yes. Correct.
It's so true. And you know what? I think, oh my God, I'm kicking myself in the head doing this. But with my two now at like 8 and 11 years old, I feel like their immune has finally got to the point where we're not like every winter just getting annihilated.
Yeah.
But I bet next week I will, and I'll like eat my words. Just waiting for it.
Just waiting.
But yeah, so I didn't have Eva with me for this one, which was honestly a little bit weird, out on the limb by myself. But luckily, Cirrus is an absolute legend.
Yeah, total legend. I'm spewing that I missed it.
She, I was having chats to her. So I had these chats when she was 34 weeks pregnant, and she was still like, she climbed up to the day she gave birth. She has given birth now. She's got a beautiful little girl, and she was on the moon board that morning before she went into labor, which just is incredible. But it was so, so nice to have chats with her, and just to see how another athlete who's at, you know, a national level has navigated this space and how intentional she was about it all. I just found it incredibly inspiring.
Yeah. I think there's some common themes that that you discussed with Cirrus that we've definitely heard before from a lot of the women on the podcast, and it's really lovely. I feel like we're starting to gather this arsenal of tools and you know, tactics and techniques for our climbing mums to use when they're navigating all of it, the identity shift, trying to incorporate climbing safely, comfortably, and still feel like it's beneficial and enjoyable, I suppose. So it was just, it was lovely. I feel like it was full of really good perspective and insight.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I particularly liked how she kind of gave permission for herself to ask others for help, you know, whether that was letting them know, oh, you know what, that crag is actually too far a drive for me, or, you know, it's not suitable for what I need right now for pregnancy. And I think that's something that mums don't always do. We don't always feel okay to ask other people to adapt when it's our journey. But you know what, like the people who love us and the people in our community are so willing to do that. And I think that's a really good lesson that we can take from this chat with Cirrus as well, of just like, you're adapting, and you know, a lot of the physical labor, well, let's be honest, all of the physical labor goes to the mother when it comes to creating a family. So it's okay to ask other people to meet you halfway, and that they're so more than willing to do it.
I want to say I think you're entirely right. It was really beautiful to listen to once I got to listen, even though I wasn't there. And I think with that, let's drop into the episode.
Good morning, Cirrus. Welcome to the Mums Gone Climbing podcast.
Thank you. Good morning to you too.
Now, you're over in New Zealand at the moment, and how many weeks pregnant are you?
I am. So this is my 33rd week now, just starting.
Oh my gosh. You're getting really close now. How have you found it so far?
Look, it's definitely had its tough days, you know, don't want to sugarcoat the journey at all. But as a whole, I think I'm finding it a little bit more sort of positive and a bit more comfortable than I would have expected at this stage. I think, you know, first trimester was pretty rough in terms of just fatigue and sort of just feeling sick and stuff. And then sort of everyone said second semester is the sweet spot. So, you know, enjoy it while it lasts before, you know, you get into the third. But for me so far, the third's been pretty good. I feel like I'm still pretty mobile and, you know, reasonably comfortable and still sleeping okay. So I think pretty lucky in the scheme of things. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you've had a really nice pregnancy. I had two that were similar to yours as well, where I was pretty comfortable. Oh, nice. And I didn't get particularly big at the end either. Yeah. Like I think like seeing your videos and stuff, you still like, you look nice and compact for your shape and your height.
Yeah. I know people are always surprised at how far along I am because I'm tracking like a bit smaller, I think. Like just in terms of that's just my body shape and size, you know. It's been going pretty positive. Definitely some days where it's just, you know, feeling much harder, back's a bit more sore and walking gets tiring and very basic exercises and tasks feel difficult. But yeah, as a whole, it's been actually pretty positive. So yeah, I'm happy about that.
That's awesome. It's really good to hear. And I guess that might be a good lead into what I wanted to ask you first, which was, I guess, so before you got pregnant, you know, 33 weeks ago-ish, what has your climbing life been like for the last 5 years? Because you've been really busy, you've been doing lots of stuff. So I just thought it'd be great to hear about, I guess, where you've been in those last 5 years and what the journeys look like for you.
Yeah, for sure. So the last 5 years, I usually do most national competitions, so in bouldering and lead. Yeah, just been climbing pretty consistently, you know, every week, trying to push it a little bit more, but trying to stay, you know, injury free and all of that. You know, on top of that, been doing a lot of climbing coaching. So just been really, I guess, immersed in the climbing community. And then last year, I moved up to Auckland. So from Christchurch, I moved up to Auckland to be a part of Boulder Co, which is a brand new bouldering gym that just opened up about a year and a bit ago. So yeah, I sort of made the move up here, and then just been continuing with just everything kind of climbing related, you know, trying to, you know, help with coaching and all of that, but also my personal climbing as well, just trying to progress with that and just keep up with training and competing as well.
Awesome. And so you've been a coach for like over 10 years, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. So quite a while. So after high school, I actually became a personal trainer. So I was doing personal training just at a normal gym, not specifically for climbers. And then on top of that, I did light exercise, strength and conditioning, and some sports psychology study as well. That kind of just, you know, there was a bit of a natural progression into coaching because of all of that. So then I kind of shifted to trying to train climbers specifically. It's been quite a natural pathway, really. And it's just kind of stuck. So, yeah, I guess I'm at the point where I just don't know what I would be doing if I didn't go down that route, you know? So, yeah, that was about, over 10 years ago now. I still say 10, but, you know, it's probably more like 13, 14 years now. So, yeah, it's just been what I know, what I enjoy, what I'm good at. So I've just kind of continued that every year.
Yeah. Were you a climber when you first started becoming a PT? Were you already climbing at that point?
I mean, I was probably a climber in the sense that I'll get a chance to go to the climbing gym maybe once every couple of weeks, you know. So sort of started when I was maybe 16 or something, you know, just at the local gym, and then just kind of went from there. So I was doing actually a little bit of instructing work before doing like personal training and stuff as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I wonder, because I think obviously you've competed on a national level now, and I think a lot of the climbers that we see now, they're coming from such a young age of getting into climbing and working their way up the competition. So I was curious to know that. But what do you think you love about coaching what do you love most about coaching? I guess what aspects do you find kind of most inspiring and that keep you motivated in the climbing world?
I really enjoy like working with people that have, you know, goals or climbs that they feel like is kind of really challenging for them, and would be really fulfilling if they did kind of achieve. So I like that process of kind of, you know, working out a plan and helping people get to where they want to get to in terms of, you know, training and doing things well and doing things properly and making sure that they can kind of, you know, keep climbing long term rather than just like a short term sort of, I guess, fix, and just making sure that they actually keep enjoying, you know, the sport and the movement. Yeah, it's really rewarding for me to hear about like a client's success in terms of like them getting their first whatever grade, or them being able to do this sort of climb during an outdoor trip that they might not have got, you know, if it wasn't for training or if it wasn't for increasing their strength or confidence and all of that. So it's, yeah, that's probably the biggest kind of exciting part for me as a coach.
Yeah, definitely. I think I saw, you know, I was reading a little bit on your website and stuff, because you do a lot of one-on-one coaching. And I think one of the things you said is that you really enjoy helping people work past those plateaus that you reach, which I can definitely relate to. Being a mom, I feel like I've been on a plateau for quite a while, but now finally starting to, I think from talking to all like these incredible women on the podcast, like finally starting to get things into my routine where you're like, okay, I'm slowly, it's getting there. But I think that is one of those things that's really rewarding with climbing, is those opportunities that you have to like push yourself and then like go past those limits and be at the edge of what is really challenging for you. So
Yeah, definitely.
I can imagine that's like really rewarding as a coach as well, to see like people find that point and be like, yes, like I did it. And to share in that, that's really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of the time it's not just like getting stronger physically. A lot of them have, you know, mental barriers that they've put up, or just kind of lack of confidence in certain types of moves or styles that maybe they usually struggle with, or veer away from at the gym and stuff, because that's not, you know, what they're good at, or their, you know, typical style and all of that. So it's cool to, you know, yeah, work with people over time and get them to actually enjoy styles that they would have, you know, initially barely even tried, or moves or holds that they wouldn't have even touched because they thought, nah, that's not me, or that's what I'm not good at, you know. So yeah, that's cool to see that change.
Do you, I mean, from your perspective as a coach, do you think it's like 50-50 as far as moving forward, if you're looking at like physical versus all of the mental challenges? Or do you think it's even more in your head than what it is in your body?
I think there's a big part in your head, eh? Like at the end of the day, if you don't believe you can do a move, right, your body's not going to just bust it out. You know, you've got to be able to visualize yourself doing it for starters, and, you know, actually imagining what it would feel like to, you know, do this climb or this move or whatever, and actually believe that you can. So I think it's kind of an underrated aspect of training. It's hard to train for, I guess. That's why it's, you know, it's not the same as just follow this workout plan. You know, it's a little bit trickier. So that's probably why as well.
Yeah, that's really, it's interesting because I've got two other guests that we're speaking to in this series that we've kind of like touched on this as well. And both of them spoke about that whole visualization thing. Yeah, I can see that it's so important. Like a lot of these people that we're talking to that are climbing hard grades or achieving amazing things, it's part of what they do, this visualizing what they're going to do on the climb, what those moves are going to feel like. Seems to be a big part of it.
Definitely. And I think now like sports psychology is kind of creeping more into climbing. You know, we see, now that climbing has become like internationally recognized in terms of Olympic sport and all that, I think now people go, oh, actually, maybe I do need a sort of a sports psychologist or some, you know, like a mental coach, you know, not just the physical. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely very cool. So I guess like having all that background that you do have with competing and training and coaching, how has that been going into pregnancy? How has that kind of impacted the way that you've been navigating this period?
Yeah, it's been hard initially, I think, because it's like, you know, climbing and coaching and all of that is, it's been an identity that I've worn, you know, for say 15 odd years. And now I've got to kind of introduce another element to my life, and priorities are going to change. So I think like at the beginning, it was a little bit hard because I was like, well, how am I going to balance still climbing, still coaching and working and being, you know, seen as someone that is pushing it and training and all that, to just actually resetting and reframing my mindset and just kind of slowing down and, you know, doing what feels, you know, safe and appropriate for me. Probably the first couple months felt quite challenging because I was still physically able to push it a bit at that, you know, at the beginning stages. So I did feel like, oh, I just feel the same. Like I can still try these harder climbs and these harder moves. But then, you know, obviously there had to come a stage where I had to just go, actually, I'm not going to try this climb because, you know, there's a sketchy move at the top and I don't want to fall. Or I'll happily ask someone now to put a top rope up for me, you know, to just do things safer and make sure I can down climb everything if I'm bouldering. And yeah, I think a lot of not just climbers, but people that are maybe, you know, really into sports or active, you know, that's kind of their life. And, you know, that's all what they know and they love. And that's, you know, what people kind of, I guess, expect from them. Right. So then when pregnancy comes, you have to kind of be like, well, okay, there's something else I've got to also prioritize here. And, you know, just shifting the mindset from kind of performance and pushing it to just doing it for the fun of it, you know, you know, climbing because it makes me feel mentally good for the day. And it's just shifting the reasons, I guess. So that, yeah, I mean, it's not easy at all, but I think it was needed.
Yeah, it's, I think that's one of the things people find really difficult. I think most mothers, even if they're not athletes, you know, there's that shift of identity that happens. But particularly, as you say, for people who are pushing those boundaries. And, you know, for yourself, you are seen as an athlete and a coach. And it's kind of like, how does this now fit into my identity when you're so, I mean, mothers are so physically involved in bringing, you know, that physical labor that comes with parenthood is solely on the mother's shoulders. It's kind of amazing that you've been able to navigate that mental headspace throughout pregnancy. That's so great. You've done super well.
Yeah, I think I just knew, like, you know, body's going to change and adapt and I'm going to put on lots of weight and everything's going to feel much harder, you know, and I've got to be, you know, safer, not just for me, but, you know, for the baby. So it's kind of like, it's weird, you know, you're not just like, oh, I got nervous at the top because I got, you know, scared of falling. It's actually like, oh no, I don't want to harm something, you know. It's quite,
yeah,
it's quite weird actually, because it took me a while to start trying harder moves higher up, because, you know, I'll be like, well, it's just me and my headspace and my nerves and confidence. But now it's like, no, there's, you actually shouldn't, you know. You know.
Yeah. Do you think it's hard to switch out of the athlete mindset as well, of like, okay, this is where I need to push, and actually reminding yourself that no, you shouldn't be anymore, or
definitely
that you need to be mitigating the risk?
Well, I mean, part of the fun of climbing is pushing it, right? And, you know, falling, because it moves hard, and that problem solving aspect, and, you know, challenging yourself, you know, with a new type of movement. So it was kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say boring, but, you know, not as like exciting going to the gym and just being like, oh, I can only do what I know I can get to the top of safely and still have the juice to be able to down climb. There's definitely a lot more sort of thought over, you know, every move before I get on. Oh, if that hole doesn't feel good, oh, there's a jug next door, I'll just down climb from there. Or, you know, there's way more to consider. It's not just like, oh, we'll just try this climb and see how it goes, you know. I'm like watching like 10 people before me. Okay, that looks like something I might be able to do. Okay, give it a go, you know. So it's not as like free, you know, like everything's a bit more measured.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just like taking the mental headspace of climbing to a whole new level.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's probably good preparation for like even post-pregnancy, you know, postpartum. Yeah, there's still a lot more of that headspace stuff that goes on because you are a mom and, yeah, you don't want to. You still don't want to injure yourself particularly badly because you've got like such a big job to do off the wall and all that sort of thing.
That's so true. Yeah. I haven't even thought of that stage yet at the moment.
I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later on. I'll be like, so.
My week from now.
I think it can start to get overwhelming when you try and look too far ahead. So that's fine. If you were going to give like other women who are either like just starting to go through the pregnancy journey or are thinking about it and who are climbers, what's some advice you would give to them? As far as, a lot of the time I hear coaches and stuff talking about like maintaining what you've got during pregnancy, like not necessarily pushing, but like being able to maintain a certain level of what you're doing. So I guess what would you say is important to focus on, or if possible, because obviously some people have hard pregnancies and that makes it difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But if possible.
So the advice I got from, you know, physios and people that were helping me along with, you know, pelvic floor exercises and stuff, they were basically saying like, look, do what your body's already familiar and comfortable with. It's not a time to reintroduce, you know, like a new sport. Like I wouldn't go out and train for a marathon, you know, because I've barely run for the last 10 years, you know. Like, do what you're already familiar with and what you're conditioned to doing, and keep doing that as long as it feels, you know, comfortable and you're able to kind of modify it a little bit. But in terms of like, I guess the climbing perspective, just going back to why you enjoy climbing in the first place, you know, and most of the time it's not necessarily, you know, the grades you're able to do and, you know, pushing it as much. A lot of the time it's just because you enjoy, you know, the movement, maybe you enjoy being outside and it's the company you're with. So all of that can still remain. Yeah, being able to shift the mindset from, yeah, performance mode to, you know, just maintaining and knowing that it's going to slow down a little bit. But yeah, climbing for the fun of it, you know, is sort of basic and cheesy as that sounds. I think that's helped me through it.
That's awesome. I mean, I think it's still really nice to hear that, even if it sounds a bit cheesy, because I think if you as a professional athlete can look at the journey and see it from that perspective, I think that's really nice for other people as well, like as a role model.
Yeah, and not to be frustrated, you know, by, oh, all my friends are doing this climb and going out there, and, you know, there's been some crags I've just not gone to because the approach has been too long, and I know I'm just going to get sore back from just even walking in, or the drive's been too long and I don't want to sit in a car, you know, and have a, you know, stiff, uncomfortable back for, you know, the climb. So there's been definitely times where I've just declined invites, or just gone, actually, I'd rather go to this place, can we maybe go here instead, you know, because it's going to feel more comfortable and I'm going to enjoy it a little bit more. So yeah, definitely accept your body's changing a lot, and yeah, make changes. And most of the time I just end up going to the gym on my own because it's convenient. I know I can manage the risks. You know, I can leave whenever I feel like I'm done. So I feel like it's very low pressure for me, just going for an hour, a little climb or a wee workout.
Yeah. I think it's really fantastic that you're already learning to like ask, I mean, like to let the people around you know, like, actually this is going to be more convenient, or this is going to work for me better. Because I think that's one of the things that can be tricky when you're not wanting to put other people out, you know, even once you've become a mother and you've got really little kids, and
yeah,
okay, a 4-hour drive is not going to be great because it means I'm like 4 hours away from them if something happens. But I think sometimes mums can feel a bit guilty about that and putting that onto other people. But I don't know. And I think you've probably found this. I think I saw in one of your posts about it as well, of just people being really supportive of where you are. Yeah. And I think people, they do really want to support you, your friends. So I think it's really totally fine to let them know.
Yeah, not feeling, you know, shy about saying, can you put, you know, a top rope up for me, or can you try these moves out for me? You know, do you think that's something I could do? Or, you know, like make it safe, you know, can you, you know, I was still doing some lead climbing up to maybe 20 weeks, like just really easy stuff. But just stick clipping, you know, the first couple to make sure I'm not, you know, going to fall on the ground and hurt myself, and, you know, making sure I've got spotters if I'm trying any, you know, harder moves down low or before I've got a top rope set or whatever. You know, it's just like, just be safe. It's just not the time to really push it and be, you know, a bit careless, because, you know, an injury for yourself during pregnancy would be so inconvenient, you know, and annoying. So just trying to avoid that.
Yeah, no one wants a broken ankle with a 30-week belly on. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
I think that's a great place to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much, Sarah. And for everyone listening along, we hope you enjoyed the conversation. We'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with Sarah to talk about lots of different things, including training other women through pregnancy and the training journal that Sarah has created. It's called My New Body, and it's all about pregnancy and training through pregnancy, and it's absolutely beautiful. We can't wait to share it with you. And until then, happy climbing.